15, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful and thankful to be here this morning. Thankful that you gave us another day of life. Thankful that you gave us another day to come and worship. Thankful for another opportunity to preach, to sing, to fellowship with our children. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless us this morning. Give us real power to preach, liberty. I pray that you'd be with our mind. Help us to say things that'll be a help and a blessing to people. Lord, I pray above all things that you might enable us to bring honor and glory to thy name. Help us to lift up and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is worthy. We'll thank you. We'll praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in verse 15, he said, so persecute them with thy tempest. It's talking about God using storms to speak to people, to chasten them or to rebuke them. After all, God is in charge of the weather, and God uses all kinds of means to speak to people. He uses trouble sometimes, the storms of life to speak to the unsaved, to bring them to Christ. And sometimes people have to get all the way to the bottom before they'll look up. And so God uses situations and troubles in life to speak to the lost. Then God uses storms to speak to the hearts of his children. Sometimes we get wayward in our living for Christ. We get cold or indifferent, or perhaps we get careless and flirt with the world and dabble with sin. And God will use storms to speak to our heart to bring us back to himself. God's punishment, God's chastening, is always corrective and not punitive. It's the desire of God's heart to straighten us out, not just to hurt us or beat us up. God loves us, and his objective is to get us to be obedient and faithful and consistent in our walk. And so God uses storms in life all kinds of ways. Now, I think sometimes God uses literal storms. I know that when Hugo came up across the coast and up into South Carolina and 100 miles up into North Carolina and just did unbelievable damage, 350 miles inland, Billy Graham got on the TV and said that Hugo was not God judging America. That God didn't have anything to do with it. Well, I don't believe that. I don't think anything happens by accident when God's concerned. Amen? And I think America and I think the Eastern Seaboard needed to learn some lessons, and God used a storm to speak to our heart. I guarantee you, when the storm came through, as a lot of people prayed, hadn't prayed in a long, long time. Amen? They say, well, 9-1-1, as great a tragedy as it was a great storm in our national life. They said God didn't have anything to do with it. Well, sometimes the way God does that is God just backs up and lets the forces of evil have their way. And we just reap the natural outcome of those things. But any way you look at it, since God allowed it and didn't prevent it, God's chargeable for it. Amen. God uses those things. That thing brought America closer to God than America's been in 50 or 75 years. Amen. And so God sometimes takes natural phenomena and uses it to teach us a lesson. Sometimes he uses natural storms like Hugo. Sometimes he uses man-made storms and situations like 9-1-1. And in the individual life of individual believers, God uses all kinds of things, little storms, to get our attention, to keep us straight, or to get us straight. And so I want to talk to you this morning about speaking to saints in stormy sentences. Now, the definition of a storm is an atmospheric disturbance characterized by strong wind, usually accompanied by rain, snow, sleet, or hail, and often by thunder and lightning. So you can have a snowstorm, you can have a hailstorm, you can have a rainstorm, you can have a windstorm. They'll all be storms. An atmospheric disturbance. And it leaves its mark. And so I want to take this morning and take some parallels between storms in nature, storms sent by God, and storms that arise in the life of God's people, and see if we can't use those things to admonish us and instruct us. Amen. I think there's some tremendous parallels between literal storms, physical storms, atmospheric storms, and the storms that rage in the lives of Christians. Now mark this down. If you're saved by God's grace and on your way to the city, if you're trying at all to live for God, if you're doing anything at all to resist the devil, you're going to have to fight some storms from time to time. They're going to come. You're not going to get on the old ship of Zion and sail across the Sea of Life and cross over Jordan and never have to pass through a storm. So it's not will you ever pass through a storm, it's how will you fare in the storm. How will you come through the storm? What will the storm do for you to make you stronger and better than you were before you went through the storm? Amen? Let me give you about 7 or 8 things here about those storms and see if it'll be an encouragement and a help to us. First thing about storms is this. There are always signs of its approach. If you're sitting out on the front porch on a bright, warm, sunny summer afternoon, and the forecast says possible showers, scattered thunder showers, in our area, 80% chance of scattered showers this afternoon. You're sitting out on the porch, and you look across the way, and you see that little thundercloud begin to form. And you see it start to jet up into the atmosphere. Thunderstorms can go as high as 60,000 feet. And they can grow at a rate of over 3,000 feet per minute. The up and down drafts in a thunderstorm can be as much as 9,000 feet per minute. They are incredibly violent. They come about incredibly quick. The only good thing about them is the average lifespan of a thunderstorm is under 20 minutes. They come, they do their thing, and they're gone. But you can always see the storm approaching. There are always signs. A cumulonimbus cloud, thunderstorm, on top is almost always shaped like an anvil. And they have tremendous winds that sometimes go out 25, 30, 35 miles from the center of the storm. And so the arrival of a thunderstorm is always preceded by, one, a visual cloud, two, by strong wind, and quite often by lightning and thunder precede the eventual downpour of the rain. So anybody in his right mind, anybody with any powers of observation is going to see and know that a storm is coming. You can anticipate it. You can say, oops, there's a storm coming. We better get the windows down. Had anybody roll the windows up in the car? Somebody get the kids in. I don't want them out there in the thundering and lightning. If it's my wife sees a storm coming, it's turn off the television, turn off the stereo, turn off everything. Don't take a shower. Don't talk on the telephone. I said, what's the panic, sweetheart? Well, you never know what lightning's going to run in on. I tell her all the time, I just tease her. I said, well, we got plastic pipes. I don't care. Now, I never tell her that water is a great conductor, I just tell her plastic pipes. It doesn't make any difference. She's not going to stand close to a window. She's not going to go out on the front porch. If she's on the phone, she's going to hang up on you. Say, why? What's the problem? She sees the storm coming, and she's trying to make some preparation to be as ready as she can when it gets here. Amen? And I'm here to tell you that in life, a lot of time, if we pay attention to our life, we can see the handwriting on the wall. We can see from the way things are going that trouble's headed our way. Sometimes, though, we're so oblivious. We're so busy going and doing and having a good time and living our life that we don't realize that there's a storm coming. We're just blind and dumb and stupid sometimes. We ignore all the signs that should have told us there's a storm on the way. Mamas and daddies ought to be watching their children. You ought to be able to tell sometimes when trouble's coming with them young people. There are some indicators. There's some things you ought to be able to watch for. There's some things you ought to be able to see. And you ought to be able to try and head it off. Yeah. And children, their attitudes change overnight. Their habits change overnight. Their friends change overnight. Something out of whack. Hey, wake up! Wake up! Something's coming. What's changed? You better look out. Husbands and wives. I've been married 40 years. If I was to get a girlfriend, it wouldn't take my wife 15 minutes to figure that out. Say, why? Because she is tuned into me, buddy. Amen. She'd see that storm in a skinny minute. Now, I've been married to her 40 years, and I'm going to tell you something. If she ever entertains the thought, because I read her mind. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you that there ought to be some things that we can see that ought to tell us that if we keep going the way we are, we're going to run head on into a storm. I'm going to tell you something. It's a lot better to see the storm coming and make preparation for it than just to stand there blind, dumb, and stupid and get swallowed up in it. I talk to people all the time, they're in a mess and their marriage or their children or their finances, or they're in a mess and they're saying, "Oh, preacher, I just don't know how this happened. I don't know how in the world it can get that far and get that bad, and you didn't know it was coming. You didn't see the telltale signs." Yeah, that wood won't give a bit, son, I'm telling you the truth. I've done that before myself and it hurts. So there are always indicators of a storm on its way. But we just keep our head in the clouds all the time. We don't pay any attention to what's going on. We take things for granted. I'm here to tell you, you can't take anything for granted. Life is always changing, always changing. People are always changing. I've had people say, "Well, preacher, I know my husband and he wouldn't do this, that. We've been married 25 years and I know him like a book." That's a knucklehead. You read about people getting divorced after 30 years all the time. All the time. To people who we knew they wouldn't do that. "I know my children. They wouldn't do that." Are you about half crazy? They get with the wrong people, get under the wrong influence, get away from God, and don't have a good relationship with mom and dad. They can do anything. You say, "Oh, my children, no, my children are good children." Good children do bad things if you don't watch out for them. You better watch. You better watch. The storm will sneak up on you and you'll be in the midst of it and it'll be a heartbreaker. And you could have seen it coming and you could have prevented a lot of it. Amen. Not only are there signs of its approach, there is evidence of its passage. Thank God they pass. But boy, sometimes what they leave in their wake. Several years ago when Hugo came through, my dad lived in the house right in front of us, kind of up on top of the hill, and we lived down in the valley. And storm was coming. My wife stayed up most of the night. I went to bed and went to sleep. I just have a hard time getting really involved in them kind of things. I figured, you know, I taped up the windows and I tied everything up and I picked everything up and then I prayed, and that's all I could do. And I'm not much on wasting time worrying and fretting over things I got no control over. Amen. So I went to bed and I went to sleep. I slept all night. I slept like a baby. They said the wind howled and the rain came and it was torrential downpours. And I mean, they had all these big words to describe how bad it was. And finally, she woke me up. It got so bad about 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, she woke me up because she was scared to death. Now, I got up to comfort her because I done prayed about it and done all I could and I was through with it. Amen. It's going to do what it's going to do. But I'm standing there at the front door, and she's scared to death. I opened the front door, and I was standing there watching it rain, and the lightning boy, and it was a terrible storm. And I'm standing there, and it must have been about 5:30, quarter to 6. And boy, for just a minute or two, it really got worse than it had been. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, we've got these two metal buildings, like 10 by 10 little shed thing with tools and lawnmowers, and, you know. All of a sudden, they just went straight up in the air. And they came right across my wife's school bus and right across our car and out into the neighbor's yard. And they just landed out there and exploded into about a million pieces. I said, well, there go the sheds. It was an awesome storm. Well, it was only another hour or two and it began to subside. And after a while, the clouds began to drift away and the sun began to come out and the wind began to die. And by noon or so that day, it was gone. The sky was clear. The winds were calm. There was no rain. It was just a beautiful, sunny day. But I looked around. And while the storm was gone, it was obvious and manifest to anybody and everybody that the storm came. My sheds were out in the field in about 100 pieces. My tools and stuff were scattered all over 2 acres. We didn't have any electricity, didn't have any water, so I said, well, I'll get in the car and go get us some water. And I got in the car and started down there, and you couldn't go anywhere. All the roads were blocked. There were trees everywhere. And there's guys out with chainsaws. And I'm saying, well, you guys hurry up. I need to get a drink of water. We stopped and helped them cut trees and stuff. You know, it was a kind of a community. A situation like that, everybody got to chip in. But you couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't do anything. Boy, I mean, big old pine trees and stuff down across the road. Everybody knew Hugo came. Now, you could look at the sky. There's that big old beautiful sun. The air temperature is nice. The humidity was low. The sun was shining. The breeze was just a beautiful day. And if you just looked at the sky, you never would have known there was a storm. But the minute you got your eyes down here, I guarantee you, everybody knew there was a storm. And I'm talking about a big storm, a bad storm had just come through. There was evidence of its passage. And I'm here to tell you, when there's a storm in your life, there'll be evidence when it's gone. Things will not be as they were before the storm. You may be better, you may be worse, you may be stronger, you may be weaker, but you will not be the same after the storm passes through your life. It's going to leave its mark on you. I remember after Hugo, some months after that, we were going up to Brother Danny Castle. I was supposed to preach up there for him. And we drove up through the mountains. And we've been that way 100 times. And we got up there, and we are way up. We're probably not 30, 40 miles from being there, going up them little old mountain roads, and we kept seeing big patches of timber that's been there for years, and they were gone. The tops of them were just twisted off. I mean, you could see the way all the, you know, like 5,000 trees, the tops of them are just twisted off and thrown to the side. A tornado went through there. They grabbed the top of them trees and just twisted the tops off them pine trees. We're talking about 350 miles from the coast. The storm been over for weeks now, months now. And here's the evidence that the storm had come. Sometimes things come in your life and God gets you through them and the storm passes away, but there's going to be scars, there's going to be reminders. I guarantee you, you will not ever be, nor will your family ever be, like it was before the storm came. You just might as well mark it down. People say, well, I wish things they were like they used to be. They're not ever going to be like they used to be. There are some things that when they happen, they leave a scar, they leave a hurt, they leave a wound that cannot be healed. And if you heal it, it leaves a scar. You ever known anybody that got backslid on God and got out of church for a year or two? And maybe you get them back in church and they get right and they repent. Are they ever like they were before? Are they ever as zealous for God as they were the first time? They never are. Now thank God they get right. That is a blessing. And it's not God's fault that they're not as zealous as on fire as they were the first time. They just never seem to get over the shame and the guilt of what they did. They just don't feel worthy anymore. You ever see a husband and wife where one's been unfaithful? And for some reason it's found out. The wounded party never feels the same. They may work it out. They may fix it. They may go on. They may have a good marriage. It can be done. It has been done. But there's a scar there. There's a hurt. There's a doubt. There's a mistrust that wasn't there before that you can't fix. I'm telling you, there are some storms that come that leave scars, that leave evidence, even though they're gone. There's no denying that the storm came. Not only that, storms affect all those that it touches. Storm comes through and When the storm commences, it never affects just one person or one house. It affects whole neighborhoods, whole communities, whole states, depending on what kind of big the storm is. But the storm affects a multitude of people. The storms in Christian lives never affect just the guilty party, or the party to be chastened, or the party to be corrected. There is always fallout from the storm. If God has to chasten me, if God has to chasten you, it is going to in some way impact on all those that are close to you, all those that love you. I can't be in trouble and my life adversely affected, my mindset and my spiritual development arrested, and it not have an effect on my wife. Mama and daddy cannot go through a big old storm that affects mama and daddy without it falling out and affecting the children. It can't be done. No man is an island. No man is alone. And what happens in our life affects those around us. It would behoove us to make sure, as best we can, that God doesn't have to send too many storms in our lives. And that the storms that do come are very small. Now, how do you do that? You live as right as you can. Now, I don't believe you're going to escape all storms. I believe a man that's born a woman's few days and full of trouble as the sparks fly up. If you live and breathe, you're going to have some. But you do all you can to minimize them. You do all you can to make sure they're as few as possible. Amen. I don't know about you, buddy. I was stationed out in Texas. We used to have tornadoes out there, and that's a terrible storm. Them things are scary. Hurricanes, you got days, and they're predictable pretty much. A tornado, they fall down out of a cloud. I've literally seen them out in Texas. You'd have a thunderstorm up there, a big old black cloud, and all of a sudden you could see the funnel descend out of that cloud. And just drop down. And they just go here and there and they pick up and they come back down and they're on this side of the street and they're on that side of the street. They are totally erratic. And they absolutely devastate everything they touch. Now, I don't know why tornadoes have an affinity for trailer parks. I haven't figured that out. But I don't know if it's got trailer park written on it, it seems like them tornadoes just home in on them. Everybody that thing touches is hurt. Amen? There's a lot of wounded young'uns in this country. Because they've been touched by the storm that went through mom and daddy's life. Amen. A storm they didn't have to go through. That's a storm they're put through. What a tragedy. Number four, there is no stopping the storm. Once the storm starts, all you can do is ride it out. There's no way in this world to stop Hugo. No way. You go home this afternoon and a thunderstorm comes. You say, well, I'm going to stop it. I'd like to see that. Would you call me when you do? You don't have any control over it. When the conditions are right for a storm to develop, once the storm is started, there is no stopping the storm. The best thing you can do in your Christian life is to make sure that the situation never gets to where the circumstances are never right for a storm to start. How do you do that? Stay close to God. Stay close to God. Stay as close to God as you can. Stay in church. Stay on your knees. Stay right. Live right. Think right. Have the right kind of friend. Have the right kind of relationship. Keep your heart in tune with God. Do all you can so that the storm never gets started, because once it does, you're going to have to ride out the storm. You know, sometimes folks don't survive the storm. A lot of people perish in the storm. And there are a lot of Christians who have had storms come in their life and they didn't survive it. I know, they're saved. You say, well, they're saved. Once saved, I believe that too. I do. But their usefulness for God, their testimony, their influence, it's gone. They've been destroyed. They're out of church. They're out of fellowship. They're back in the world. The storm destroyed them. And the Christians want to get loose in their Christian living. Not faithful to church. Not diligent in their Christian exercises. Bible study and prayer and witnessing. Think they can indulge in this and that and go here and go there. I'm telling you, you're starting a storm that you won't be able to stop, and you'll have to ride that thing through to the other side. And sometimes you make it and sometimes you don't. That's why the South is filled to overflowing with men, women, boys and girls who used to be in church. What happened to them? They were destroyed in the storm. Let me say this about storms. Its power is totally humbling. We are in the hurricane season. And I think they have the first named hurricane of the season now. We've had a couple of tropical depressions. And they fly airplanes in there, you know, to the eye of the storm and get all their barometric pressure readings and the intensity and the wind velocities and the amount of moisture in the cloud. And they get all kind of information. And they turn around and they fly right back out and they go report it and they give it to you on the 6 o'clock news. They plot its course. They've got computer models. They generate storms, you know, with these parameters and all this. And they say, well, we predict the storm's going to go this way and we're going to go that way. I remember here just a few years ago, they had their little computer models and they had this big storm down there in the tropics. And they said, well, it's going to do so and so. And it's going to cross right over Cuba. And it's going to drench them. We'll give them about 25, 30 inches of rain. Then it's going to come up the eastern seaboard of the United States. You know what that storm did? That storm came right across Cuba and pounded them for about 3 days. Just stopped on top of them. Finally, it came on across and it was pretty worn down. It got back out in the Gulf of Mexico, built itself back up. You know what that storm did? So help me, that thing turned around and went right back across Cuba and beat them up the second time. And all them scientists and weather fellows sitting going, Well, we never saw that. That's because God's in charge, dummy. Your computer don't control that storm. Oh, they were so embarrassed. They were humiliated. They made a big to-do about what the storm was going to do. It didn't do nothing they said it was going to do. It humbled them. Storm comes our way. All you can do is watch and prepare. You can put tape on the windows and hide the car and pray it don't hail. And that's all you can do. You can't stop it. You can't turn its course. You can't predict where it's going. You can't tell how long it's going to last. You go in the house and say, this thing will be over in 20, 30 minutes, maybe an hour. And when it's over, we'll do so and so. Ain't nobody going to run out and say, wait a minute. We're not going to let this storm mess up our picnic. I'll go pull the plug on it. You go ahead and set the table. Ain't going to work like that. You're going to have to admit you can't control it. It's bigger than you. It's a very humbling thing. Its power is awesome and beyond our control. Buddy, sometimes when storms come in our lives, all we can do is seek God's face. There ain't a thing you can do about it. When you go down to that doctor's office and they say, we need further tests. And they send you to the oncologist. Big word for a cancer doctor. Scares the living daylights out of you. There's a storm raging in your heart. You are terrified. The C word strikes a fear in us. I don't think that's equal by scared.
And the guy said, we're going to have to do a whole battery of tests here. Now, some of these readings just don't look good. Your PSA level is too high. Can you do? Can't do a cotton picking thing. You know what you're going to do? Whatever test that doctor says, you're going to take it. They say we got to do this upper and lower GI thing. Don't eat anything for 24 hours and drink this. He said, that's humiliating. I don't want to do that. Okay. What are you going to do? There's something wrong. It's a storm raging in your body. You're going to do what they say. But you are not. You're not going to stop the storm. It's going to humble you. You're going to have to sit down and admit, I thought I was such a big fella. I thought I was so bright, so strong, so powerful. I'm in charge of my own life. I chart my own destiny. No, you don't. You know not what tomorrow brings. You live today by the grace of God. In Him we live and move and have our being. And if God doesn't choose to bless you with health tomorrow, the storm will rage and there's nothing you can do about it. I'll keep God on my side. Number 6, let me say this about storms. When the storm leaves, it always leaves the heavens clear. I love that. You ever watch a little thunderstorm in the summertime? It'd be so hot, nasty, and dust is settled on everything. The leaves are they're green, but they're dull. And there's a haze in the air. I mean, you can't even see the junk coming up from the nuclear plant. I mean, it's really bad. And the ozone is in the orange level, and breathing is unhealthy. And the weather forecaster is telling all those old folks to stay in because, we could overload our worn-out bodies. And then a little thunderstorm comes, a little summer squall. And boy, for a few minutes, the wind blows 35, 40 miles an hour, and the trees whip around. And maybe for 20 or 30 minutes, the rain would just come down in torrents. I mean, just like somebody dumped a bucket. And then it moves on out of the way. And the clouds dissipate and the sun comes through. And you look up in that sky and that's the bluest thing you ever saw in your life. And all them old dusty looking trees just shine and glisten. God washed all the dirt off. And the air is so clear. You ever smell the air after a thunderstorm? It kind of tingles on the inside of your nose. It's just wonderful. you walk out, boy, and it's just so peaceful, and the birds start to come back out, the sun's warming the earth up, and that's the clearest and the brightest and the cleanest that it's been in a long, long time. You know, sometimes God puts us through a storm, and it gets us back to God. And we confess up and pray up and repent up. We get those things out of our life that was causing the storm, and the storm passes away. And sometimes for the first time in weeks or months, sometimes for the first time in years, we feel clean, feel alive, feel in touch with God. The world never looked better. It's great to be a Christian again. God hears my prayers again. Church is exciting again. The people down at the church house aren't as ugly as they used to be. They're still ugly, but not near as bad. So what happened? When the storm passed through, it washed all the dirt out. It cleansed, it purified, it cleaned. And that's what the storms are supposed to do in our life. Clean us up. Make us fresh and new. Wash away all the dirt. Isn't that a blessing? The storm is a terrible thing when you're going through it. And there's always reminders that it came. But the good that it does is makes the storm worthwhile. Ask any farmer. Number 7. Its memory always lingers. Is there anybody here other than these little kids who don't know anything anyway? Is there anybody here who does not remember Hugo? Anybody that lived through that doesn't remember where you were at, what you were doing when it came? I guarantee you, if we were back here in the fellowship hall, sitting around a cup of coffee and y'all smoking your cigarettes and just fellowship and have a good old time, and we got talking about Hugo, everybody in here have a story. Everybody in here. Say, why? Well, we all went through that storm, and we all have a memory of it. It made an impression. And I bet most of us say, bless God, if they ever tell me another Hugo's coming, I'll say, well, I'm going to pack my bags, and I'm headed to the mountains. I ain't riding out another one of them things. Amen? Or somebody would say, well, I don't care how bad it gets, this is my home, and I ain't leaving. Okay, well listen, would you keep an eye on mine while you're here? Because I'm gone! We all have a memory of the storm. We all have a different memory of the storm. It provokes all of us to do different things when we contemplate the storm. Amen? If the storm hit the coast, and they said, boy, this thing has turned direction and it looks like it's headed right towards Charlotte, North Carolina. As far as we can tell, this thing is going to be just like Hugo. You've got 24-30 hours to prepare. I bet we'd do things different this time we did last time. Last time we thought it was a joke. Amen. This time we'd have them portable generators out and we'd have enough gas to run them. Amen. Listen, folks, the storms you go through are supposed to linger in your mind. The memory of the storm and its devastation, of its pain and of its hurt, is there to keep you clean and pure. It's to keep you on track. There's a good reason that you remember the trials and troubles you went through. God uses them to keep you on the straight and narrow. You say, oh, I remember what happened the last time I did this. This is what God did. And I'm not up to that again. So I ain't going to do this anymore. Let me close with this. The storm provides opportunity to reflect, to regroup, and to rebuild. Down at the coast, that's a Christian code word for the beach. We don't have anybody in our church that goes to the beach because they know that's a sin. So they all go to the coast. We got three of them down there this weekend, coasting. We love them anyway. That's between them and God. But I'm not going to miss an opportunity to get on their case. You just mark that down. What was I talking about? After Hugo, down at the coast, they spent months cleaning up and rebuilding. Now, you go down there now, and you can't hardly tell. I mean, it's just, all the signs are about gone. I remember when I was a little boy, they had a hurricane called Hazel. Came through down there, and it ripped up the intercoastal highway. We were down there a couple of days after Hazel came through, and there were chunks of asphalt this big, that thick, where it just ripped it up and carried it 300-400 yards and throwed it down in the jungle out there. And they rebuilt. And a few years later, here comes Hugo, and it tore the place up. I remember seeing all them sailboats, you know, they picked them right up out of the bay, carried them 2 or 3 miles inland and deposited them out there in some swamp. Barely enough water in it to cover an alligator. And here sits this sailboat 50 feet long. They come in here, boy, they haul all that stuff out. They tear all that rubble down. They haul it all off. And they start rebuilding. And in just a little while, all you got left is a memory, man. They rebuilt it. And you know something, when they rebuilt it? They rebuilt it to today's standards. The building is stronger. The wiring is bigger. It's better engineered. It's better constructed. It'll take a bigger storm next time to tear it up. You know what they did? When that thing got tore up, they cleared it all off. But before they rebuilt, they regrouped. They rethought it. And they tried to fix some defects that were there the first time. If we do this and we suffer another storm, we won't have as much damage. The place is actually better off for having had the storm. They didn't think that when it came. But the end result is that as far as the structure is concerned, they're better off. It's a stronger, better place. And the storms that come in our life often give us time to stop and think, regroup. Evaluate where we're at, how we're living. And how the way we're living, where it's going to take us, how it's going to end. You know, sometimes a storm is a real good thing in your life. It washes away the dirt, leaves the clouds, the sky clear, gets us back in touch with God. But it gives us opportunity sometimes to think. Why did this storm come? What did I do to bring it about? What could I have done to have prevented it or to have lessened it? Gives us opportunity to change our life for the glory of God. Now, I'm not praying for a storm. I am praying for the grace to get through it when it comes and the wisdom to reflect and rebuild after it passes. That's what every Christian ought to do. I don't know when your storm's coming. I don't know why it's coming. I don't know how you're going to handle it. But I know if you do it right, it'll make you a better and a stronger person. A better and a stronger Christian for Jesus Christ. Don't give up the ship when the storm comes. Don't throw in the towel. Don't run like a scared rabbit. Weather the storm. Learn from the storm. Rebuild after the storm and be stronger because of the storm. Father, we thank you now for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I pray that you give us grace and wisdom. Lord, there's some things that come our way that we should have seen and headed them things off long before they ever got there. The honest truth is, it's pretty much our fault they had to come. Now, Lord, there's some things come we've got no control over. Give us wisdom, though, to see and prepare. And Lord, when they come, regardless of reason, give us grace and strength to weather the storm. My Father, I pray that you might help us as men and women, boys and girls, to have the character, the integrity. to stop and think, to regroup, to rebuild after the storm, that we might be better, that we might be stronger for Jesus Christ. We'll thank you and praise you for it in His precious name. Amen. Don't forget 6:30 this evening.